Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Artwork on the Creative Life by Sally Mann is a nonfiction book about creative practice, artistic discipline, and the realities of sustaining a serious artistic career. Best known as a photographer and memoirist, Mann uses this book to reflect on how creative work actually happens, drawing on episodes from her life, career setbacks, letters, journal entries, photographs, and reflections on her own decisions. Rather than presenting creativity as a mystical gift, she treats it as labor shaped by luck, persistence, risk, family life, and repeated failure. The result is part memoir, part critical self-examination, and part practical counsel for artists and writers. Its purpose is to demystify the creative life without reducing it to a simple formula. Mann emphasizes the ordinary work of showing up, making choices, and learning how to continue when recognition, confidence, or ideal conditions are absent. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, creativity as an overflow of lived experience, not a separate realm. A central idea in the book is that art does not emerge in isolation from life, it grows out of it. Mann argues, in effect, that the creative life is formed by accumulated experience, daily observation, relationships, work, and the emotional residue of ordinary existence. This matters because it rejects the common fantasy that artists create by escaping life or by waiting for perfect inspiration. Instead, the book shows creativity as something produced through attention to what has already been lived and absorbed. Mann connects her photographs and decisions to domestic responsibility, rural surroundings, family tensions, and social position, suggesting that an artist's material comes from being fully embedded in the world. That perspective gives the book intellectual force. It links artistic output to biography without reducing art to biography alone. Readers are invited to see that creative work is not separate from the messiness of experience but dependent on it. The implication is practical as well as philosophical. If life feeds art, then paying close attention to the texture of one's actual circumstances becomes part of the work itself. Secondly, hard work, repetition, and the unglamorous reality of artistic labor. Mann repeatedly insists that being an artist is not a special exemption from work, but a form of work. The book underscores routine, persistence, and the often tedious repetition required to sustain a body of work over time. That stance is important because it pushes back against romantic ideas of effortless genius and sudden inspiration. Artistic accomplishment, in Mann's account, is built from showing up, revising, sorting, filing, writing letters, keeping records, and continuing through periods when progress is invisible. She treats practical habits such as making lists or keeping receipts as part of a creative infrastructure rather than as trivial chores. This enlarges the meaning of craft discipline is not only about making images or prose, but about maintaining the conditions that allow long projects to continue. The book is persuasive here because it does not moralize about hard work, it normalizes it. Readers come away with a clearer understanding that stamina is not a secondary virtue in art, but one of its main requirements. The value of this section of the book lies in its refusal to separate inspiration from administration, or vision from the daily maintenance that supports it. Thirdly, risk, rejection, and the necessity of choosing when to say yes. Another major thread in the book is the role of risk in creative development. Mann presents artistic growth as inseparable from uncertainty, including rejection, censorship, misjudgment, and the fear of making the wrong move. She does not treat these as exceptions to creative life. They are part of its structure. This is especially useful because the book does not merely say that artists must be brave. It explains bravery as an ongoing practice of deciding when to persist, when to expose work, and when to accept opportunities that may alter a career path. The emphasis on knowing why and when to say yes gives the book a practical dimension. It suggests that every creative path is shaped by selective openness, not by saying yes to everything. Mann also shows that rejection can sharpen identity rather than destroy it, because it forces a clearer sense of commitment and style. In this way, the book is less about avoiding failure than about learning to work through it without losing momentum. That makes the text valuable to readers navigating unstable professional terrain, where uncertainty is not a detour, but the normal environment of work. Fourthly, self-presentation, privilege, and the honesty of looking back. The book stands out for the way Mann reflects on her own history with unusual bluntness, including her upbringing in the segregated American South and the privileges that shaped her position as an artist. She does not present herself as morally spotless or as an all-knowing mentor. Instead, she examines how class, race, family background, fame, and social circumstance affected both her work and her understanding of it. This self-scrutiny matters because it prevents the book from becoming a generic manual detached from history. Mann's reflections make clear that artistic freedom is always situated within material and cultural conditions. Her willingness to acknowledge blind spots gives the book credibility, even when it is not exhaustive about every painful area of her life. The result is a nuanced portrait of a creative figure who is trying to interpret her own career honestly rather than sanitize it for readers. This adds a critical layer to the book. Creativity is not only about making work, but also about learning how to see one's own inheritance clearly enough to understand what it has enabled and what it has obscured. Lastly, a how-not-to manual that teaches through anecdote, not doctrine. The book's method is distinctive because it does not behave like a conventional self-help guide. Mann uses anecdote, letter excerpts, journal fragments, and images to construct a creative philosophy that feels provisional, personal, and grounded rather than prescriptive. This matters because the book teaches by example and complication, not by offering a single correct system. Its advice can be practical, but it is rarely presented as universal law. That makes the text more credible for readers who distrust formulaic creativity books. Mann's voice is candid, funny, and often self-undermining, which allows the book to retain seriousness without solemnity. The structure also matters by arranging memories and reflections rather than a strict step-by-step program. The book mirrors the uneven way real creative lives unfold. The reader learns not only what Mann believes, but how she came to believe it through experience, error, and reflection. This gives the book a hybrid value as memoir and craft essay. It is especially useful for artists and writers who want insight into creative endurance without being told that there is one correct path to follow. In conclusion, Artwork on the Creative Life is best suited for artists, writers, photographers, and readers who want a serious account of creative work without the polish of inspirational mythmaking. It is especially useful for anyone trying to understand how a long artistic life is sustained through routine, self-doubt, risk, and imperfect judgment. Readers looking for practical insight will find guidance in Mann's emphasis on discipline, record-keeping, and the importance of learning when to accept or refuse opportunities. Readers looking for intellectual depth will find a clearer argument about how creativity grows from lived experience rather than from abstract talent alone. What distinguishes this book from many other books on creativity is its tone of earned candor. Mann does not present a universal system or a spiritual doctrine. She writes from the inside of a working life, with enough honesty to acknowledge privilege, error, and contradiction. That combination of memoir, visual archive, and reflective counsel makes the book feel less like a formula and more like a record of how art is actually made over time. If you would like to support Sally Mann, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.